Thank you, Dan, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our visitors. It's good to have you here in Cambridge with us again. What an awesome day it is outside. Yesterday was beautiful as well. Really enjoyed it. It made it easy to be outside working, and today is not different. Several years ago, I worked for the Lowe's Home Improvement Center as an assistant store manager. My main areas of responsibility were in the specialty sales and as well as the salesman training. I was directly responsible for the sales of the store. At that time, we had a $60 million budget, so those were hard answers to give if they didn't fall into place correctly. But once a week, we would have a sales specialist meeting where we would discuss the previous week's performances, and we would discuss several categories, including customer contact and face-to-face interactions, you know, on the sales floor. Lowe's hired a third outside company to do what's called mystery shopping. Many of us are familiar with mystery shoppers, I'm sure. But they come in and they measure customer interactions and performances of your salespeople and their conduct. Mystery shopping is used by many companies and many organizations to measure quality control issues, particularly pertaining to service qualities, conducts. It's used to ensure that your company or your organization are taking good care of the customers and whatever kind of business that you have. And it's done very frequently. And then a report is submitted. And that's where the fun begins. Well, you submit a report of their findings. And some of the things they would score were courtesy, knowledge, and your willingness to help, regardless of what kind of customer you were dealing with. These were the main areas that were scored. For the category of courtesy, the mystery shopper, the person that was sent in unannounced to the sales associates, would rate the associate on how pleasant the person was, being the sales associate. Did I or the associates approach the customer, or did we avoid the customer? How well did we engage in that interaction? Did the associate go above and beyond in ensuring that the customer experience was a good one? Well, I think you get the idea. Each category would have a lot of similar questions pertaining to each particular category that would be rated on that report. And Lowe's took these results very serious. It helped to show what kind of people they had on the sales floor, what kind of people they had within their organization, what kind of people were taking care of their business. We then provided training in the appropriate conduct for the continued improvements of those associates, those involved. The feedback from the mystery shoppers would then become part of your permanent record. There may be an accommodation for doing a really good job, and there could be a negative accommodation as well that could jeopardize your job, whether you would remain within that organization. All in all, mystery shoppers are a tool used by companies to survey and rate its representatives and their overall conduct. Taking care of business is of the utmost importance in whatever field you're in, whatever organization, whatever activity you participate in. Going above and beyond expectations is expected and can bring unexpected benefits. I'd like to share with you a true story that will help magnify this point. It was written by John Maxwell. This version of it was written by John Maxwell, a well-known author. I'm not sure. I forgot to look up the original story, but this particular version is by John Maxwell. Late one stormy night, an elderly couple dashed out of the rain into the lobby of a small Philadelphia hotel, hoping to secure a room for the night. But much to their disappointment, the hotel was full. "There are three conventions in town," said the cheerful front desk clerk. "I'm afraid all the hotels are full." The couple started to turn away, and the clerk continued, "But I can't send you nice people out into the rain at 1 o'clock in the morning. Would you be willing to stay in my room? It's not exactly a suite," he added, "but it will make you comfortable for the night." Well, the couple were reluctant. They didn't want to put the man out, but the man insisted, "Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. Let me do this for you. I'll make out just fine," he said, and then they finally accepted his offer. When they checked out the next morning, the elderly gentleman said to the clerk, "You are the kind of person, the kind of manager, who should be the boss of the best hotel in the United States. Maybe someday I'll build one for you." And the man at the desk simply smiled and thanked the elderly gentleman and his wife. Well, 2 years later, the hotel clerk received a letter from the elderly gentleman. In it was a round-trip ticket to New York City and a note. And the note reminded the clerk of the night he had helped the couple and invited them to come up and visit them. Though he had nearly forgotten the incident, he decided he would go. They met him at the station in New York and then took him to the corner of 34th and 5th Avenue. "That," said the elderly gentleman, pointing to a mammoth new building made of reddish stone on the corner, "is the hotel I've just built for you to manage." "You must be joking," the clerk said. "I can assure you that I'm not," said the elderly gentleman with a smile. The elderly man's name was William Waldorf Astor, and the huge turreted building was the original Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And the young clerk was George C. Bolt, the hotel's first manager. This young man not only represented the company that he worked for, but he also went above and beyond to provide a service for someone else. No motive involved. He didn't know who these people were. He was courteous. He was willing to help. He was greatly rewarded, although he did not know what he was going to be rewarded of. He could have politely said, "I'm sorry," and turned a couple away. And he would have been successful in doing his job well. But he didn't do the minimum of what was expected of him. He went the extra step. He put himself out and he showed showed willing and unselfish hospitality. He stepped up to a higher standard of conduct. You know, we may never know who we're talking to and who we may be helping, or who's just simply watching us, you know, across the room. But that's why it's so important for us to always be on our A game, doing our very best, doing everything that we can to show good. In our Christian walk, God expects us to be on our A game as well. And He expects our conduct to be in line with what He teaches us. He has made it known through His Word in the many areas that we need to be aware of and concerned with when considering our conduct. And He expects our lives to be patterned after it. If we're committed to this way of life, that's what He expects from us. No exceptions. Please turn with me to Titus 2. Titus 2. And we'll read verses 7 and 8. In the first part of verse 7 is what I really want to point out, but all of 7 and 8 will make a very good point to us. Titus 2, starting in verse 7. "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, That's what God's looking for. That's what He's judging us on. That's what He's teaching us. He's teaching us to do the right things at the right time and to handle ourselves in the right ways. And then showing the results of it. He wants us to be a pattern of good works. And it goes on to say, in doctrine, and showing integrity, and showing reverence, and then showing incorruptibility. You know, those are all spiritual points, but we can turn them into our everyday points. You know, the way we talk, the way we act. I mean, everything. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That no one who is an opponent of us, they would be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of us. And Paul is exhorting Titus here to be a model of good works. And God expects us as well to be a model of good works. Well, none of us are perfect. God requires us to live and be seen with a higher set of standards, higher than the world is known by. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and read verses 21 through 24. Ephesians 4, verses 21 through 24. Paul's writing to the churches while he's in prison in Rome, and he was addressing pretty much the idea of behavior and conduct, the subject of behavior and conduct. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 21, if you indeed have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, which we have been receiving our training, our instruction, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the new spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. Since we've been instructed in the meaning and standards and behavior of being a Christian, then we want to be careful not to act like the world around us. We have to step up to a higher standard. It's what we've been taught to do. We should be known by our highest standard of conduct. When we were baptized, we obligated ourselves to a new way of living. A new way, a better way to conduct ourselves. A better way to live. We need to remember that we are to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of our relationship with God. So what's my point in all this? Well, if we are going about our Father's business, how well are we doing? The world we are living in this present age is a world full of hatred and evil acts. Satan is very active in attacking the church, and the assault on Christianity is growing. If you are a Christian, then you are labeled a religious extremist. In spite of all this, we are expected by God to live in the highest standard of conduct at all times and remain kind and caring and loving and gentle and most of all humble. The Scriptures tells us that we are to be the salt of the earth and we are to be a light to the world. And referring back to Titus again, a model of good works. People out in the world, they have no idea anymore. It's just depreciated so much in the understanding of conduct has depleted so much. They don't know what good conduct is. They just accept whatever happens. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and we'll read verse 12. You know, we all have certain ways that we want to be treated like. So if we expect that of another, then we need to do the same back. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, verse 12. So then, whatever you desire that others would do to you and for you, even so do also to them and for them, For this sums up the law and the prophets. Well, it just doesn't get much more clear than that, does it? This is something, you know, that can be hard to do. Human nature fights against that principle. I'd like to encourage and challenge us to go the next step. Go to a higher level. Never allowing ourselves to think that we're doing just fine. That our conduct is just fine. Because although it may be good, and I'm sure it is, we have a great group of people. But we can go another step higher. And God wants to see that happen. We always want to be looking and allowing ourselves to go further and grow stronger and leave no doubt who we represent when the world around us challenges who we are. Why is it expected? Why is it wise? Why is it expected by God for us to live by a higher standard of conduct? Well, because the world judges Christianity by what it sees in us. And God expects us to make the most of those opportunities. The reputation of the gospel depends on us. Let's turn to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. And we'll read verse 27. And Paul's encouraging the Philippians to make this, it's that goal. And it should be and needs to be our goal as well. Philippians 1 verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Are we representing the gospel well? Are we representing God well? Are we going about our Father's business? Going above and beyond is expected of us. I started this sermon up by telling you an experience, my experiences with mystery shoppers and how they are used to check on people and see if they're living up to the expectations of the companies and organizations that they represent. And while we represent God, did you know that He has a similar program in place? And some of you already know where I'm going, but you kids listen up here, you might find this interesting. God really doesn't have a mystery shopper, but you'll find this interesting. Turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, and we'll read verse 2. Hebrews 13, in verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unknowingly entertained angels. I'm going to read this again from the Amplified Version. Verse 2 from the Amplified Version reads like this. Do not forget or neglect or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers, being friendly, cordial, gracious, sharing the comforts of your home, and doing your part generously. Doing your part generously to a higher standard. For though it's some have entertained angels, without knowing it. Well, that's probably the biggest authority in mystery shopping that we can have. So you see, in a way, we are being watched by our own mystery shoppers every day. There are many areas pertaining to conduct. But today we've considered a topic of conduct from a broader point of view. There's many messages that we could talk about, you know, when considering this topic. But we considered it from the angle of how we treat people today. Which, when you think about it, is the starting point of it all. Most schools, companies, organizations, whatever, have a written code of conduct that has to be accepted and has to be exercised in order to be part of that body. It will outline many areas of expectations for the person's actions, as well as what can happen if there's an infraction. Brethren, God gave us an entire book of a perfect code of conduct. It also outlines His expectations for us, as well as what can happen if there is an infraction, but also the blessings that we can count on when we do it well. We are living in a time when there's no doubt that we must step up to a higher set of standards in all that we do. We cannot afford to relax and let down. The young man in the story that I shared stepped up when there was a need, and he did it willingly, without any motive. There was nothing in it for him to sacrifice his ring. He was remembered, and he was rewarded later by an elderly man by giving him the responsibility to manage one of the most famous and recognized hotels in the whole world. Well, God has a plan for us, and He and Christ are preparing a place with many offices. And He wants to fill them with us. It too will be famous, and there will be nothing like it ever. How exciting will that be when that time comes? How much more exciting would that be if we get to be part of that plan? We're getting ready. Several people have left already for the feast, and we're getting ready to leave over the next few days for the feast. And a lot of what we read, you know, does pertain to the brotherhood, but it does extend outside, or people wouldn't know who we were. I challenged us before, and I'd like to challenge us again. Go to the feast and enjoy as we always do, but don't just look for the people that we've met and are looking forward to reuniting with. Look for the person that's on their own, that's sitting off to the side, and go make a difference. Go show them something. Show them a great time. Show them how it can be. Encourage them. Give them that. What a feast gift that would be. Brethren, let's all encourage one another not to let down, especially when things are so tough. Let's not give in to lesser standards and slip into gray areas, but to always be on our toes. And together, step to a higher set of standards. Have a great Sabbath.